All right, as you head back to your seats, I want to invite you to lock in. Last night, Austin talked about the fact that change is necessary, that change is possible through Jesus, and that change is permanent because of the work of Jesus on the cross. I'm so excited to continue our conversation. He talked about how it started, how we were raised from the dead to walk in newness of life, not because of anything we've done, but because of Christ. And tonight we're going to reflect on the idea that the same way we were raised from death to life is the same way we continue on this journey of the Christian life. And to illustrate where we're going, I got married about a little bit over three-ish years ago. Thanks, guys, for the three-year late congratulations. And we went to Hawaii for our honeymoon, and it was awesome. And one of the days that we were there in Kauai specifically, we said, let's go on a hike. But not like a really difficult one where you're climbing rocks and it's really hard. And not an easy one, but like an intermediate one, if you will, an intermediate hike. And so we did a bunch of research to see an intermediate hike to an amazing view. And so we were going to look for a trail that would lead to this incredible view of the Nepali coast. Here's a picture of it in Kauai. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I know. We wanted to go there, but we didn't want to work too hard or for it to be too easy. So intermediate hike. You're tracking with me. So we went on this hike, and guys, let me tell you, it was not as advertised. It was not intermediate. We were not prepared for this hike. It was dangerous. It was difficult. Like literally, there were times where we were walking along a ledge and literally it was hundreds of feet, just one slip, and we were done for. We were hiking in Chacos, which are the worst pair of shoes to be hiking in. It was muddy. It was slippery. We were tired. I mean, I think there's a picture of me after the hike just drenched in both physical and emotional sweat from hoping that we did not die. Guys, we were not prepared for that hike. And the reason I start with that funny story, we made it, we saw the beautiful scenery, it was awesome, but it was difficult and we were not prepared for it. And the reason I start with that example is because I think that there's something that some of you in the room or listening online are not as prepared for. Just like we were unprepared for that hike, some of you guys aren't prepared for walking with Jesus every day. Maybe you claim to be a Christian because it's something that your family does. Maybe you say you're a Christian or that you follow Jesus because it's what your friends do. Or you think being a Christian might make your problems go away. Or maybe you just want to make sure you don't go to hell. And so you say, I'm a Christian. Let me get a little bit more specific. Some of you aren't prepared to walk with Jesus in that group text that spreads rumors behind people's backs. Some of you aren't prepared to follow Jesus at that party where everyone's drinking. Some of you aren't prepared to follow Jesus at the lunch table where the conversation turns inappropriate. Some of you aren't prepared to follow Jesus when that classmate is being embarrassed or bullied. Some of you aren't prepared to follow Jesus when the valedictorian of the class promotes the killing of unborn life and everyone celebrates him. Some of you aren't prepared to follow Jesus when you're scrolling on social media or on YouTube or whatever it might be, and you see that post or that video that you really shouldn't dwell on. If you're honest, you're not prepared for the journey of walking with Jesus. And I want to help you to be prepared tonight. Because there are many teenagers, maybe some even in this room right now, who have accepted Jesus, who would raise their hands and say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you aren't following him. And it's just your words only, and your actions betray you. And so tonight I want to spend the next few moments showing you, guiding you on how to prepare for how it's going. If Christ has raised you from the dead and given you new life, he's not just a ticket to heaven and you just live the way you want the rest of your days. Christ truly transforms. And I want to share with you how you can be prepared for that journey. If you're a follower of Jesus, man, I think a question for you to consider as we spend time in God's word tonight is, how is my relationship with Jesus going? No, like for real. How is my relationship with Jesus going? Or maybe you're in the room and you've never understood your need for a Savior and placed your faith in Jesus. Maybe the question for you as you listen tonight is, what am I missing? Am I missing something? And so for the next few moments, I want to share with you three steps to prepare you for how it's going. Three steps to prepare you for how it's going. And the first step is this, is to take courage that you have everything you need. I'm specifically talking about persons in this room or listening who've said, I am a sinner and I am in need of a Savior and I know that I can't save myself and that I need someone outside of me who is perfect and holy and righteous to be a sacrifice on my behalf. Those are the people who can take courage that you have everything you need. Our theme verse, if you will, for this entire weekend is Philippians 1:6, which says this, being confident of this, that he, who's the he? God, Jesus, he who began a good work in you. When did he begin it? When he raised you from death to life. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, as long as you live or until Christ returns, the God who saved you, who rescued you from the domain of darkness, from the influence of the enemy, our enemy, the devil, from your flesh, the God who saved you, he who began a good work is going to be faithful to complete it. And so in essence, God pulled out all the stops. He came down from heaven to this earth for you to live and to die and to hang on a cross so that you wouldn't have to. So that you wouldn't have to be separated from him for all eternity. He pulled out all the stops to rescue you, to bring you to life. Why would he stop there? He doesn't stop. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. So he pulled out all the stops to save you, and he pulls out all the stops to grow you, to provide you with everything you need. And that's why you can take courage. You have his word, and you have his spirit living in you, and you have his spirit, his people, to help you on this journey of life. You have everything you need. And so the problem isn't God. And the problem isn't that you don't have everything you need. The problem is that we're lazy. The problem is that we're apathetic. The problem is that we think it's up to us to change ourselves. But we have everything we need. As I was thinking about this point, I reflected on a fun accomplishment that I experienced back in December. I ran a half marathon, my first one ever. Thank you, guys. Yeah, there's a couple of pictures you'll see up on the screen. It's me and some friends that finished the half marathon. My family, my wife, some other family members that came to celebrate me and help me and encourage me along that terrible journey. I hate running, but I did it anyways out of discipline and a goal to strive after. And the reason I thought about this half marathon that I did is because I had everything I needed. I had the right shoes. I had the training schedule. I had the encouragement of family and friends. I had refreshment while I was running the race. Like literally every 2 miles there was Gatorade, there was water. I had clear direction. I didn't have to worry about where to run or where to go because the path was laid out for me. And I had determination to finish the race in those moments where I got tired or when I got discouraged. I had everything I needed and I used everything that I needed. But what if I had decided, you know what, I can hang and chill and just wait until December and then go out and run the half marathon. I'll be fine. I don't need the right shoes. I don't need a bunch of people to help encourage me. Or imagine I'm running and I'm really thirsty and I'm like, no, water, don't need it, skip it. You'd think that that's illogical. Of course, all of those resources are available to you. Why wouldn't you use them? But the question for you, with something way more important, your relationship with Jesus, is this. What do you have at your disposal that you're not using? Is it God's word? Are you too tired to wake up in the morning and spend time in his word to understand more of who he is and his love for you and how you are to live? Is it God's people? Are there other things that are way more important to you than being surrounded by other believers to encourage you and challenge you and remind you and refresh you and strengthen you in those moments when you're weak? What do you have at your disposal that you're not using? Because people who are prepared for how it's going, they take courage that they have everything they need and they use everything that's been given to them by a kind and gracious God. So that's the first step. If you want to be prepared for how it's going, you want to take courage that you have everything you need in the God who raised you from death to life. Here's the second step. If you want to be prepared for how it's going, you count the cost of following Jesus. If you want to be prepared for this life of walking with God, you got to count the cost. You have to know what's at stake. What you might lose. To illustrate this, in December 2013, our Watermark students team took 100 students or so on a ski trip to Crested Butte, Colorado for a couple of days, and it was awesome. The only problem with this ski trip was that I was going, and I had never skied a day in my life. I don't know if you know this, but I'm born and raised in the Caribbean. There's not a lot of snow down there. So I'd never been skiing before, but I was committed to going on this trip. And I had to count the cost of going on a trip where the main activity was skiing. So let me show you a little bit of me counting the cost of going on this ski trip. Watch this. Guys, not only did I fall, my pride fell, my self-respect fell. All of those things fell in that moment and into multiple other moments. Literally, David Peniel and Jason Delf, some of you don't know him, both of them followed me all around for at least a day and a half to record me falling on this ski trip. And so I had to count the cost that going on this trip and learning to ski was gonna cost me my pride. If you've ever been to ski school, As a teenager or even an adult, you go there and there's these little children, three-year-olds, and they're better at skiing than you. And they don't need the poles and they're fearless and you're just like slipping and sliding along this bunny slope. And so you gotta give up your pride if you're gonna learn to ski, right? And so I had to count the cost in that funny example of my pride that was at stake, my desire for control, or just being embarrassed, right? And in a more serious way, you guys, me, every one of us have to count the cost. What's at stake? What could I potentially lose if I follow Jesus? Because Jesus tells us what it takes to follow him and that we should count the cost. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus is here on earth and he's teaching his disciples and he's challenging them to count the cost of following him. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 30. Luke 14, 25 through 30. It says this: large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Whoa, that sounds like a high standard. "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And then he uses an example that we can all understand. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. And so Jesus makes some strong statements in this passage. At the beginning, he says, hey, if you don't hate your mom and your dad and your friends and your loved ones and your family, you can't be my disciple. Now, what does that mean? Jesus isn't commanding you to hate those people that are closest to you in your life. He is commanding you, or he is inviting you, to a desperate, deep devotion and love for him. So much so that when you compare your love and devotion to God, when you compare it to your love and commitment to those closest to you, that seems like hate. He's saying, you gotta love me that much. Wow. So how do you do that? How can you be propelled into loving Jesus so much that all other love that you extend to other people seems like hate? Answer: you reflect on the depths of the love that has been extended to you by the God of the universe, who said, I want him, I want her to be a part of my family, and the only way that can happen is for me to die and stand in their place. That's the depth of the love that God has for you. When you understand that, when you embrace that, man, it's powerful. Some of you, you used to be excited about following Jesus, and then it got hard. You knew you needed to be disciplined to grow in your relationship, but you didn't feel like it. Didn't feel like waking up early, or didn't feel like it was an important thing to you. You knew you needed to stand up for truth in that moment, but it was easier to just go with the crowd. Following Jesus may cost you your popularity. It may cost you that relationship that you're in right now. It may cost you your pride. It may cost you that self-righteousness that you're holding on to, that feeling of I'm better than them. It may cost you that. It may cost you your control. It may cost you other people's opinion of you. Following Jesus is costly, but it is so worth it. Now, I know as you hear that, you probably are saying, that does not sound worth it. If following Jesus is going to potentially cost me so much, is it really worth it to go all in? To embrace this love that Jesus invites me into in Luke chapter 14, it doesn't seem like it's worth it. And if that's something that you're reflecting on right now, I'm glad you are, because that leads us into the third step for those who want to be prepared for how it's going. And it's this: if you don't think it's worth it to follow Jesus, consider the crown for following him, or consider the reward that comes with following Jesus. Consider the crown for following Jesus. A verse I've reflected on a ton over the last year is Proverbs 4:18. And I would encourage you to read it, memorize it, because it's such a relevant verse to your life and to mine. It says this: the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous is like a sunrise, the verse says. It starts out, you know, it's kind of dark, and as the sun begins to rise, it gets brighter out, it gets warmer out. There's more beauty to behold. That's what the Christian life is for those who follow Jesus. And I got to see this so clearly this last summer, summer 2021. I went on a family vacation to Maine, which is all the way on the east coast of the United States. And so while we were there, we were in this home that was on top of a hill, kind of overlooking the ocean. And we would go to sleep, and at 4:50 a.m., I'm not kidding, 4:50 a.m., our room would be bright, I mean bright orange. And it would wake you up no matter how much you tried to ignore it. And you looked around, you saw the clock, you're like, what's going on? And we would run upstairs and we would go outside to see what was happening, and we would see this amazing sunrise. Right? And it's even better in person. And so we would sit on this lawn chair and just watch the sun rise. And as the sun rose, all the colors would go across the sky, the reds, the oranges, the yellows, the pinks. And it was amazing. And we would get warmer as the sun was rising. And that image is a part of the crown that I want you to consider for following Jesus. Because as a result of following Jesus, just like the rising sun, you guys get to bring light and warmth and joy and clarity and enjoyment to life. In other words, the path of the righteous, the path of a junior high student, a high school student, surrendered to God, is like the rising sun that continues to get brighter and brighter, and you get to experience and live out more and more of the way life was meant to be lived. That is an incredible reward for teenagers in 2022 who commit to following and walking with Jesus. You get to experience life the way it was meant to be lived. Those temporary pleasures that you maybe are running to yourself, or you see your friends running towards, man, they're just temporary. But this is where it's at. You see, there are thousands of ways to not follow God. And the majority of your friends, and maybe even some of you in the room, are seeking them out. But that's not the way life was meant to be lived. Life was meant to be lived in communion and fellowship with God. And so there's a present crown to consider that makes it so worth it to follow Jesus. Apart from the fact that it's worth it to follow Jesus just based on the fact that he died and rose again for you, right? There's a present crown and there's a future crown, and then we'll wrap up, which is found in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Read these verses and then we'll wrap. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It's one of Jesus' disciples, way after Jesus had rose from the dead and had ascended to heaven, and he's writing this to the believers at this church, and by extension, to the students in the room or watching online in 2022. And he says this, "Dear friends, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Remember Philippians 1:6? It says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's what this verse is talking about, the day of Jesus Christ. That one day, this life as we know it will be over, and the Son of God will appear. And those who have walked with God, the students in this room who have walked faithfully with him, as the rising sun does, bringing warmth and light and clarity to this dark and broken world, those people, those students will see Jesus as he is, and we will be like him. That is an amazing crown. I can't even comprehend it, that you and I, if we are followers of Jesus, we will be like him. We'll be free from the presence of sin. No more sin, no more shame. In God's presence, with God's people, with bodies that will never break, enjoying life the way it was meant to be. Guys, one day, the Jesus that we sing about, the Jesus that we talk about, the Jesus that we study, man, we'll see him with our very own eyes. That's a future crown that is worth it to follow Jesus. So, I want to ask one question and then we'll wrap up. If there's a present crown for following Jesus, living life the way it was meant to be lived, and a future crown where we will see Jesus as he is and be like him, I have a question for you. What are you holding on to that's holding you back? What do you think is more important? What do you think is more valuable? What do you think brings you more meaning and purpose and hope and joy than a life committed to following Jesus? What are you, not the people around you, what are you holding on to that's holding you back? Because it's holding you back from an incredible, incredible gift, both now and on into the future. This last week, I was reading Romans chapter 1, and I reflected on verse 8 in a way I hadn't before as I thought about this room and you guys. Romans 1:8, it says this, Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. So this is centuries and centuries ago. Before the news, before the radio, before the internet, before social media, there were these Christians who were living like Christ. They were following him. They were reading his word. They were gathering with other believers to encourage each other to walk with God. And guess what? News of their faith and devotion to God spread across the earth. Imagine people getting on ships and getting into a different city or a different country and going, man, I was just in Rome and there's these followers of Jesus. They live completely different. Their lives are so different because they're holding on to this Jesus. And they've let go of their own desires. They've let go of their own ideas of how life was meant to be lived. They've let go of the things that are holding them back. What if we all did that today? What if you let go of the things that are holding you back from living life the way it was meant to be lived? Surrendered to God. A life not marked by you running to your own desires or pleasures or the way you think or your friends or the culture tells you life is meant to be lived. Imagine if we all did this. Let go of those things that are holding us back and held on to the right things. Imagine if almost 2,000 people walked out of this room and back into families and friend groups and classrooms and jobs and wherever life may find you, you live different. Because Jesus isn't just a ticket to heaven for you. He has changed your life and changed the way you decide to live it. Man, so many around us would get to experience the warmth, the joy, the light that comes from us walking with Jesus. It just takes us letting go of those things that might be holding you back. So let's sing. And I pray that as you hear the words of this song, that you allow or you ask God to show you, man, what am I holding on to that's holding me back? I should let go. If I want to walk with Jesus faithfully the rest of my days, stand and sing with me.